Masechta Sukkah daf vav mer alef toistir maschil gefen kedei revias yain lenazir. The Gemara had quoted the statement of Rav Chanan that the pasuk Eretz Chitas Ora, referring to the Shivas Haminim of Eretz Yisrael, that each man serves as a shear for a certain halacha. So concerning the gefen, the Gemara quotes Rav Chanan's statement that gefen is kedei revias yain lenazir. That the gefen is relevant for revias of wine for the nazir. Tosis is going to analyze precisely what that means. Pirish Bekuntris, Rashi explains, Kedei Revias Bishar Isurei Nazir, that it's a Revias worth of the other Isurim of Nazir, besides wine. The Ika Lamanda Amar Mesechta Nazir, there is an opinion in Mesechta Nazir, Deflamade Dalam Abbas. The Lulavin Ve'olin Ve'chartsanin Mitztarfin Lashir Revias Yayin. That Rashi actually puts in a little bit of reverse order, which we'll see in a moment, maybe was done specifically. First lists chartzanim, which are either the seeds of the grape or the peels of the grape. And lulavim and olin, lulavim are the tendrils that come out of the grapevine, and olin, of course, are grape leaves. That they, all those food parts of the grape, even with the stretch, the lulavim are not regularly edible, nor are the olin. They're not classically edible, even though sometimes used, the grape leaves. So mitzvah from the shir revias, that all of those combine for a shir revias of wine. Rashi continues, the im yitneim lakos mole yayin, that what we mean by a shir revias of wine, even though they are solid and not a liquid, that if you put all of those into a cup that's filled with wine, the yetze imenu revias yayin, and a revias of wine will overflow, Archimedes' principle, figuring out its volume. And so then you are going to be chayiv for eating that revias, a very unique kind of setup, which Tosfos is going to more fully unpack later in terms of its source, that for Nazir, at least there's one opinion, and that's what Rashi is referring to here, that the shear of solid foods is not the ordinary kazayis, but a revias. Rashi continues to explain, v'eino doma ha-mesha'er b'kos mole yayin l'mesha'er b'kos mole mayin. Asking the implicit question that the wine here is not being used as that which you're drinking, because we're not talking about drinking the wine, we're talking about eating salads that are related to wine in the sense that's where it comes from, the gefen, the vine. But the relevance of wine, which the Gemara says, is that is the liquid that you are causing to overflow in order to assess whether or not you have a revias's worth of salads. So now Rashi explains that if you do the same measurement of putting a certain amount of food into a cup that's filled to the brim with wine and filled to the brim with water, so more water will overflow than wine. Rashi continues, it's being quoted by Tosis in the first narrow line, Diyayin av eino memayar lotzeis, since wine is thick and it doesn't quickly go out from the cup. Ela nivratz v'nigdash al sfas akos, due to the principles of adhesion and the wine's greater viscosity, so it is gathered and piled up on the edge of the cup. Yosem min amayim. So just to give us an example, if you took classically a volume of 3 ounces or 28 milliliters times 3, which is according to many poskim the approximate measurement of a revias. So you take, again, 3 ounces or 84 or 86 cc's. So that's actually measured by water, classically. That's how it's derived. So if you take that and you take that volume of food, so if you stick it into water, you would get your three ounces. But if you stick it into wine, let's say for argument's sake, you would only get 2.9 ounces or 2.8 ounces because not so much wine as would water flows out. So this is Rashi's understanding of this Gemara, a rather complex application of Gefen Kedei Revias Yayin, not in terms of drinking the wine, but in terms of the fact that the revias of food items that you would have to eat, again, according to one opinion, which will be explicated by Tosis a little later, which would be necessary in order to violate the prohibition of Nazir. Of course, the Nazir not only being banned from drinking wine, but also being banned from having all the grape kind of products. I just note, and we spoke about the order beforehand, that the Mishnah and the Gemara in Masechta Nazir points out in on Lamed Aleph, Amid Aleph and Amid Beis that the mainstream opinion is that you're only chayav for eating the foods that are clearly edible, like all the gray parts, including the pits and the peels, which are variously referred to as either chartzanim or zagim, two opinions as to which is which. But the lulavim, which are the tendrils, the little bits of wood that go out that grabs the vine onto fences and the like, and the olen and the leaves are not considered classically edible, and therefore, according to the mainstream view, you're not chayiv for that at all, and they're not mitzdayiv to the shear. But there is a view of the Tana Rabbi Elazar that they are. So perhaps Rashi is just trying to make everyone happy here, and that's why he mentioned chartzanim, which everyone would agree to, and the lulavim and olen, which is actually subject to a debate. But the main point being that whatever solids you are chayiv for eating, the nazir is not allowed to eat, and gets malchus if he eats a certain amount. So assuming that that amount is revius, machlokus to be seen later, so you measure that revius via a cup of wine. So just before we go further, just to note an interesting kasha that is asked by Tosas and Masechta Erevin. In a moment, Tosas is going to quote Rashi's Pshat and Erevin, which is different from the Pshat over here. That's what it's doing there, that Tosas, because Tosas agrees with Rashi's Pshat here and not the one he gave in Erevin. So Tosas asks on Rashi that at first glance, this Rashi doesn't seem to make sense in terms of our Gemara requiring you to measure the revius via the wine rather than via water. Because the revius, famously, is associated with a beitz of mechza. It's the volume of an average egg plus another half an egg. Hence the contemporary poskim's measurement of approximately 3 ounces, because a large egg, which is considered a medium egg, because there are five sizes of egg, small, medium, large, extra large, and jumbo. So the medium egg is actually called a large egg. So when you plunk that into water, it causes the water to elevate or to overflow about 2 ounces. And then if you take half of that, so then you have another ounce, a total of 3 ounces. So again, some poskim have less, some a little more, but that's the basic family of what a revius is, hovering around 3 ounces, which we'll use throughout our presentation for simplicity. So if you take the volume of an egg and a half, presumably you do it with two and then do the math to calculate, or do three and then halve it. So if I plunk an egg and a half into a full cup of water, so I'm going to get 3 ounces of water. So now, if that's the way I measured my revius via water with the egg and a half, and then I'm going to put in the grape solids, which I want to decide whether there's enough that the Nazir ate to warrant him getting Malchus. So then I'm going to have to add in enough to overflow the 3 ounces of water. The problem though is that if you took that same measurement concerning wine, you would get exactly the same numbers. So the Chiddush of the Gemara here seems to be telling us that you don't do that. And you don't measure it via water by first putting the egg and a half in water and then putting the solids of the grape into water to get that same amount to make sure the Nazir should or should not get Malchus for what he ate, but rather use wine. So then Tosas asks, but if you use wine for both, it's going to turn out to be the same thing anyway. Again, Rashi notes that the less wine will come out. Well, just like less wine will come out for the solid bits of grape that you're going to put into the wine, so less wine will come out for the baseline egg and a half that you're going to put in order to assess what your revius is. Again, to plug some numbers in, let's assume for the moment that when you pluck in an egg and a half's worth into wine, so then it's going to overflow by 2.8 ounces rather than 3 ounces. So if you're going to stick in your egg and a half into wine, you're going to get yourself a revius, in quotes, of 2.8 ounces rather than 3. And then when you stick in your grape solids, you're going to have to get the 2.8 ounces. But that 2.8 ounces is the equivalent of volume, had you done the measurement with water, of 3. So either way, you're going to actually be measuring it at 3 ounces as measured by the water measurement, whether you call it 2.8 ounces via the wine measurement or 3 ounces via the water measurement. The measurements are going to be exactly the same. So what is the chiddush here that we measure it via wine rather than via water? Either way, your baseline measurement with eggs is going to determine how much is going to come out. It's going to wind up to be the same value. So Tosfos gives one answer, and then there's a Hagah in the Tosfos that gives another answer, which is more mustavir. So we'll give over that approach, that the actual Revius is fixed via the water measurement. And the reason for that, Tosfos notes, is because there's another way the Chazal measure Revius, and that is via a certain length, width, and height of the Revius. I think it's two etzbos by two etzbos, and then again by a certain number of etzbos, I think plus a fifth of an etzba, and that's a revius. So that's an absolute measurement that you could figure out with etzbaot, and that's where the famous Chazon Ish comes to raise the possibility to make revius much bigger, because his measurements with an etzba and his assessment of it were much larger than the measurements with the egg. But leaving that discussion aside, so there is an absolute measurement irrespective of the egg and a half displacement method of a revius. So if that's the case, we'll call it, leaving aside the Chazon Ish's chumrah, we'll call that 3 fluid ounces. So for 3 fluid ounces is what we're trying to get. So if that's the case, then we're not measuring the base of mechza via the wine, because that we already know it's 3 ounces and that's fixed. Now when we measure the solids that the nazir would have to consume a revius is worth in order to be chayiv, so then since wine holds back more than water, so you're going to have to add in more than 3 ounce volumes worth of those solids in order to be able to fill a cup of 3 fluid ounces. Because if you just put in 3 ounces into the wine, that would, let's say in our example we gave earlier, only overflow 2.8 ounces of wine. So you're going to have to add another 0.2 in order to be able to fill that cup in terms of overflowing. So it seems to be meduyuk, that pshat, precise in the words of Rashi, because the Rashi says, im yitneim lakos, in the third line of Tosis, mala yayin v'yetzim imena revius yayin. Sounds like that revius yayin we already have assessed a priori, but without before we even got involved in this, so that we know what a revius is. Again, we'll call it the 3 ounces. So then it's only the food that you're measuring via the wine, but not the revius that we already know in absolute terms, as Tosfos points out, based on the measurement of etzbaot, which another way to assess that would be by doing the egg overflow with water. So, putting it all together, in sum, Rashi maintains that the pshat in our Gemara is not that the nazir is drinking a revius of wine, which perhaps would have been the simplest pshat, but rather the revius of yayin means that that the nazir is eating solids, and we're measuring that he has to eat a revius's worth of solids via, we assess via overflow of wine rather than overflow of water. So now Tosfos notes that Rashi Masechta Erevin gives the simple pshat. Over Reish Erevin, 3 lines down, where it gets narrow into Tosfos, Pirish Bekuntris, Rashi explains, Geffen Kedei Revius Yayin LeNazir, that the amount of Revius of wine for the Nazir, L'chaiva Malkus, to make him be liable to Malkus. So Rashi doesn't quite spell out that he's drinking a Revius of Yayin, but that's what it sounds like. That's indeed what Tosfos notes. Mashmash wrote Salomar. The implication is that it means to say, "Im shasa revius yayin," that if you drank a revius of yayin rather than eat solids, that the equivalent of revius. So now Tosfos writes, somewhat surprisingly, that the more complicated pshat of Rashi here seems to be more correct, as he asks on the Rashi in Erevin, "V'ein zeh me'inyan acherim." This is not like the other measurements that were given in this statement of Rav Chanan from the various shivas aminim. Because all those other minim, Tos continues, the Masharinan behu milsa achriti, that we measure something else with them, just as an example. Like a zayas, we're not talking about eating a zayas, we're talking about eating other foods, either for mitzvos or for averos, where the kazayas is the measurement. When we talk about a kedei achilas pras, which is the measurement of eating half a loaf of wheat bread, relevant to bayas amenuga, among other things. So there, we're not talking about actually eating the wheat bread. We're just using it as a measurement of time. Or etzem kisaora, that a bone that is the size of a barley kernel is enough to be metame v'mago v'masa. So we're not talking about eating the saora, but we're using that as a measurement of something else. When it comes to geffen, k'dei revius yayin, so if we're dealing with actually drinking that revius of yayin, then we're talking about the thing itself and not using the revius of yayin to measure something else. So it wouldn't be parallel. If we go with Rashi's pshat over here, it is directly parallel, because we're not drinking the revius of yayin. we are using the Revius of Yain overflow as a measurement of the salads of grape for the purpose of Nazir. So therefore, Tosis concludes editorially, Uchamoshe Pirishkan Iker. The way Rashi explains over here is the main shot in order that it should more readily conform with the other members of that statement of Rav Chanan. Tosis further verifies this idea that wine volume overflow is the rule of thumb concerning the Nazir. And similarly, we have taught a price on a Tosefta and Sechta Nazir. How does one do in order to measure the amount of food that one needs to eat in order to be chayiv, or to drink in order to be chayiv? Maybe kos mala yain, you bring a cup filled with wine. Or maybe zayas aguri, you bring an olive, aguri, which is the olive you measure with, a kind of olive. Venos letocho, and you plunk it into the full cup of wine. Veshofea, and then it overflows. Im shasa kayotze bo chayiv. If you drink parallel to that amount, meaning you drink a kazayas is worth, then you will be chayiv. Vim lav potter. And if not, you're exempt. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. These are the words of Rabbi Akiva. Just to finish the Tosefta, and then I'll make a comment. Rabbi Lozman Azariah Omer, eino chayiv at sheyish the revius. That you're only chayiv until you drink a revius. Now, up until now, Tosis seem to be assuming that even salads, you have to, based on our Gemara, and Rashi Pshat, that even salads, you have to eat a revius is worth. And it would certainly follow, simply speaking from there, that you also would have to drink a revius worth of wine in order to be chayiv. So what Tosis now quotes in the Tosefta is that is the view of Rabbi Lazar Nazaria, who says, Eino chayiv at sheyish the revius. And as Tosis is going to explain later on in the Tosis, that according to Blazman Azariah, just as you're only chayiv for drinking a revius of wine, you're also only chayiv for eating a revius of other grape salads. But Rabbi Kiva holds that everything depends on kazayis, both drinking and eating. So that's why the Tosefta began with putting in a kazayis rather than an egg and a half's worth. Again, according to what we said before, that's really irrelevant. You don't put in the egg and a half's worth. You just take the 3 ounces, 3 ounce cup, and then you put in the thing that's parallel to what you ate, and then measure it that way. But here the Tosefta speaks about putting in a zayas because it's conforming with the first opinion of Rabbi Akiva that's the way you measure both drinking and eating. So now Tosis notes that our sugya goes like a blood from Azariah. In the continuation, v'hashta sugya d'shmaitin ki Rabbi Elaz ben Azariah. Our Gemara goes like a blood from Azariah. Vein lochish b'chach, and they're not being concerned about that, even though our Gemara is not unanimous, or perhaps Tosis is indicating that maybe we should pass like Rabbi Akiva. I think this is a Gemara that halach kirek b'kiva mechavero, v'lo mechaverov. V'ein lochish b'chach, one need not be concerned that our Gemara is following Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. T'achi nami ahida eser revius, the ferek shloshim minim. So too, there's a certain statement, I believe, of Rava, that there are 10 revius in halacha, where the sheer revius is relevant. The perek shloshim minim, the perek m'sech nanazir, the flam chesman aleph, kavasei, which is also like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, because one of the areas in halacha where revius is relevant is a nazir, whom the statement tells us has to drink a revius of wine in order to be chayiv, which is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, not like Rabbi Akiva. So you see that the Gemara, not only here but elsewhere, follows Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, which actually maybe indicates that we should pasken like him, or even if it doesn't, but the fact that certain Gemaras go like him is not surprising, including ours. Then Tosis has a somewhat of a question based on the Gemara in Lamaches in Nazir. Even though the Gemara had raised other areas in halacha where the revius seems to be relevant, and that would make the number larger than 10, so the Gemara answers a few times that reflukta lo kamayri, that it's not dealing with a machlokis. So here there is a machlokis about the revius of the nazir, whether it's a kazayis or a revius. So Tosa says lo chayish behu avagaf de poleg ala Rabbi Akiva, that they weren't concerned about this particular machlokus between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, even though indeed there is a machlokus about that, and even though the Gemara had rejected certain other candidates for revius in other areas of halacha precisely because of that. So now, Tosis quotes a Mishnah, which also highlights this idea, that there's a based on the explanation of the Gemara as well, that there's a machlokus between Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Akiva concerning whether or not a kazayas is the main shear for the nazir, both for eating and for drinking, and or whether revius is the main shear for the nazir, both for drinking and for eating. Over nazir nami, in the Gemara itself, not just in the Sefta, Ika beplukta v'ferek yom aminim, the same parak quoted earlier, this is Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph, ditanan, as we learned in the Mishnah, v'eino chayiv ad sheyochal min hanovim kazayis. So the first statement of the Mishnah is that you're chayiv for eating a kazayis of grapes, as we shall see in the continuation. According to Tosafot's first pshat, that statement is actually subject to debate. Mishnah continues. Mishnah Rishon Omeris, the original version of what the Tanoim thought the halacha was, ad sheyishta revias yayin, that you will have to drink a revias of wine in order to be chayiv. Again, the very first line spoke about eating a kazayis of grapes. The next line, which is labeled the Mishnah Rishona, talks about drinking a revias of wine. The Mishnah continues, quoting seemingly a third opinion, Rabbi Akiva Omer, afilu shora pita b'yayin v'yesh bo letzar of kazayis chayiv. Even if you soaked your wine into bread and you have a kazayis of wine absorbed in the bread, or to investigate, maybe the bread actually combines with the wine to be chayiv. That's a topic I'm not going to explore now. Let's, for now, for simplicity's sake, say we're dealing with that you ate enough bread such that you ate a kazayis of just the wine itself. Then you are chayiv. So we have a machlokis to Rabbi Eliezer, who holds you have to drink a revias of wine, and Rabbi Akiva, who holds you have to drink, in quotes, a kazayis of wine, and that drinking could even take place via eating the wine that's soaked in bread. Once Rabbi Akiva says it could take place even eating the wine soaked in bread, it opens the door to suggesting that Rabbi Akiva might hold that you're chayiv as well for eating a kazayis of all other grape solids. The measurement is a kazayis. Once Rabbi Akiva is even extending it to drinking. So, according to this, the simplest reading, which Tosa is going to explain, is verified with the Gemara. So the first line, V'eino chayiv at sheyochal min hanovim kazayis, is actually going in accordance with Rabbi Akiva. And then the Mishnah Rishona reflects a review of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that you have to drink a revias, and the same would be true for salads, that you'd have to eat a revias' worth. And Rabbi Akiva holds the shitaso, which was also the first line, that you have to eat a kazayis of an oven to be chayiv, and you have to drink a kazayis of wine in order to be chayiv. So Tosfos now quotes the Gemara that verifies that read. Armina b'Gemara, and we say in the Gemara Nazir on Lamech Chesam Beis, Tanakama medama lahu isuri nazir l'shia. The Tanakama, which refers to the Mishnah Rishona, not the first line, but the Mishnah Rishona that said you're chayiv for drinking a revias. So that Tanakama compares all the isuri nazir to drinking. What does it mean, all the isuri nazir? So Tosfos elaborates. So v'achilas olin v'lulavin. Again, this is going to Rashi's understanding following Rabbi Elazar, that you're chayiv even for the somewhat inedible parts of the gefen, namely the leaves, the olin, and the lulavim, the tendrils, the small parts that grab onto fences, etc. So when you eat those parts, and certainly when you eat the grapes, or the chartzanim, and the zagim, the seeds, and the peels, so nami boy revias, you're going to need a revias is worth, and not the ordinary kazayis. Come over and see it, just like drinking. So according to Eliezer, consistently, and that's what Tosfos got from this Gemara, that the Tanakama compares all these suri nazir to drinking, that unusually, somewhat unique in halacha, nazir has to eat the revias of salas in order for him to be chayiv, and not the ordinary kazayis, because everything revolves around the drinking, which I guess we could say is the main issur, and everything branches out from there. Rabbi Kiva saw that everything revolves around kazayis. Kevin amakrov anavim lachim vibeshim lo yochel, that you shouldn't eat either moist grapes or yuvashim raisins. So, and it also speaks of not drinking. So ma'achila b'kazayis, the achila, the baseline achila, as we know from Kol Torkula, is a kazayis. Af kol b'kazayis, so even the wine is going to revolve around a kazayis. Kolomar, af shesia, even drinking. So Rabbi Akiva, everything's kazayis, both eating and drinking. For Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, everything's revias, both drinking and eating. Okay, so now, once we have that, now we understand our Gemara more fully, according to Rashi's understanding here, that it's going like a Blazman Azariah, as Tos noted earlier. And we're dealing with an overflow, a revias, which is measured via an overflow of wine and not via an overflow of water, in order to see that you ate a revias of solids to be chayiv for that in accordance with the position of Blazman Azariah. If Rabbi Akiva would be writing this Gemara, so then he would have to assess it via kazayis, which is exactly what was indicated in the Tosefta that Tosus quoted earlier. So Tosus has somewhat of a kasha as to That version of the Gemara, Rabbeinu Tam, is going to be quoted in the continuation, having a different girsa. According to this girsa, second wide line, Uktsas kasha legirsa zo. This version is a little bit difficult. Teheicha ashkechan demasrich revias v'midi de'achila. Where else do we find that a revias is necessary and something has to do with food? It's always kazayis. On Yom Kippur, we have kosev sagasa, because that's how much is necessary to eat in order to have yisuvi daita, in order to settle his enormous hunger pains. But where do we have a share of vias, which seems to be only oriented toward drink? Tzarech lomar. So Tos explains the mashmalei, that this is what the Bala Gemara inferred from the language of the Mishnah. Dechi katani achi yochel min hanovim kazayis, which was the reish of the Mishnah, that until you eat a kazayis of grapes, huadin b'shsia. The same is true for drinking, as evidenced by Rabbi Akiva, who was listed later on in the Mishnah, who says so explicitly, that if you mix the wine with bread, but the rule of thumb is a kazayis. So that first line of you're only chayiv for eating kazayis of grape is also extendable to drinking a kazayis of wine. So now we have the Mishnah of Rishona that responds to that. Mishnah Rishona, the Meretz Achi Yishta Revias. So even though the Mishnah Rishona only mentioned drinking Revias, but didn't mention eating Revias, Huadem Achila. Parallel to the first line that spoke about eating a kazayis, but also true for drinking a kazayis, as evident by Rekiva later on in the Mishnah. So same way true for Mishnah Rishona, that even though we only mentioned drinking a Revias, he also, Huadem Achila, also be true for eating a Revias. Ela, Mar Noker Achila, the first Tana listed, not the Mishnah Rishona, but the one that said, you're chayav for eating a kazayis of grapes, he spoke about eating, Shendi Aleph Mineila and Yeshia, because that serves the baseline from which we extend, according to Rabbi Kiva's view, that Yeshia also requires only a kazayis with respect to the Nazir. Umar Noket, and the Mishnah Rishona chose to state, Yeshia only spoke about drinking a Revias, and didn't speak about eating, Mishandi Yalef Mineilin Yan Achila, because that is our baseline from which Achila stems. So we start out by the assumption that the Mishnah should be totally parallel, and just like the Kazayas Shita has it both for eating and drinking, so the Revias Shita will have it both for drinking and eating. This is the first view of Tosus, which conforms with the simple reading of our Gemara, the way Rashi explains it. Now Tosus quotes a totally alternate view, changes the Girsa and Nazir, and based on that, is going to have to change the Girsa in our Gemara. Rabbeinu Tam Gara Sham Benazir. Rabbeinu Tam had a different girsa in Masechta Nazir, not as we have Tanakama Midamalahu Isuri Nazir Lishsia, that all the Isuri Nazir, including the eating ones, are compared to drinking, in which case you get the conclusion that you need a revias according to Blas and Zarya, but rather the exact opposite. Tanakama Lo Midamalahu Lachol Isuri Nazir Laachila. The Tanakama does not compare all the Isuri Nazir to eating. V'chein matzer b'sefer yoshan, as Rabbeinu Tam found in an old manuscript of the Gemara. What would that mean? That Tanakama, meaning the Mishnah Rishona, that says that you're chayev for drinking a revias of wine, implicit question, why is it different from the iser of eating a kazayis of grapes? Lo medam lehu l'kol isuri nazir l'achila. He does not compare all the isurim of nazir, meaning drinking, to the iser of eating with respect to a nazir. Eating with respect to a nazir is going to be a kazayis. According to Blas ben Azariah, and drinking with respect to another, that'll be a revias because there's no comparison. Lo medam lo. V'chein matzah b'sefer yoshan, as we saw earlier, he had found in a manuscript. Now Rabbeinu Tam quotes a slightly alternate version, which boils down to the same thing. V'yesh svarim shekasu b'hem v'lo medam lo le'isur nazir l'shsiyah, that we do not compare the isuri nazir to drinking, meaning that we don't compare the eating isurim to the drinking isurim. Once again, the drinking Yisurim are Revias, the eating Yisurim are Kazayis. So Tosus notes that Vakol Echad, both Girsos ultimately go boil down to the same thing, that Kazayis for eating and Revias for drinking. Avlachila Nichatve. But the first Girsa that has Lomi Damilu Yisuri Nazir Laachila is smoother. Why is it smoother? Probably because the topic at hand that the Mishnah was talking about, of the Mishnah Mishona, was drinking. So we say that that drinking iser is not compared to eating, and therefore it remains at a revias and not at a kazayis. So either way, according to that gear, so what emerges is that no one holds that the iser of eating the grape products with respect to nazir is more than a kazayas. It's definitely only a kazayas. Only machlokas is about drinking. Rabbi Kiva holds you have to drink a kazayas to be chayiv, and Rabbi Lazar holds you have to drink a revius. So now, the Tosas elaborates the thrust of that girsa, pirish, mishnah rishonah, mechalekes ben achila l'shtiya. It distinguishes between eating and drinking. V'lo yalfina me'adadim, with not derive one from the other. So now, Rabbeinu Tam further elaborates, the girsa, the Tosas further elaborates, according to Rabbeinu Tam, the girsa zo, havi achila v'chazayas, v'chuli alma, eating is the kazayas for everyone, and drinking is subject to a debate. A corollary of that is that v'shmaitin in our Gemara, so Rabbeinu Tam has to modify the girsa too. Goras Rabbeinu Tam, kazayas yayin l'nazir, v'asya k'chuli alma, v'midi d'achila. That rather than having an argamara, a revius yayin lenazir, which Rashi explained was going on the amount of food you have to eat, according to Ben Tam, no such thing as having to eat a revius, even concerning a nazir. No one holds that way. So that's why it has to modify the girsa to kazayas yayin lenazir in terms of eating foods. But ashke chuli alma, and then it will follow everyone, including Rabbi Elazar Nazaria, because according to Ben Tam, shat, with midyat achila, and something having to do with food, it's definitely only kazayas. So what that would mean is, as the Tosefta indicates, that you would take a zayas aguri, a zayas, and with a full cup of wine, and you would measure out a kazayas of liquid with that, and then whatever the nozer would eat parallel to that, such that if you stuck it into a full cup of wine, you would get that measurement that the zayas caused to fall out of the cup. So then they would be chayiv, and that would be called your kazayas. And you measured via wine and not via water, similar to what we said before, because you'd need a little bit more in order for that to work, because the wine is a thicker kind of liquid that doesn't push out as much liquid so quickly. So now Tosfos asks a similar question to what we noted earlier that Tosfos asked on Rashi. The kasha l'pirish ben etam, the mai nafkamina de mesharina nosa zayis because malayayin. What's the halachic difference that we measure that zayis with a wine cup that's full? You could have used water as well, just as wine. That whatever liquid you put the zayas into, whether it's wine or water, so too will you put the chartzanim and the zagim, the peels and the pits. As we said earlier, the eitzim and the lovim, really the inedible parts. So this line of Tos is actually worth going to everybody. So Tos asks the same question, that as long as you put your olive into to wine and you put your other substance into wine, so it's going to turn out to be the exact same measurement as if you put your olive into water and you put your other substances into water. So what is the significance of putting it into wine? And here the Marsha in Masechta Erevin points out that the answer that Tos gives in the Haggah in Masechta Erevin to Rashi is not going to work. Because whereas a revius, we have a measurement outside of Archimedes' principle, outside of volume displacement. You have it measured via thumbs. It's both. So there we have an absolute revius measurement, which is premised on the displacement of water. And then we say that that kind of cup of revius, you have to fill in with the solid substances of grape for the nozer to violate, and it's going to turn out that you're going to have more than a revius is worth than a classic revius in order to fill that cup when you use wine as your vehicle of displacement. But concerning Rabbeinu Tam, they're dealing with a kazayas and not a revius. The only way to measure a kazayas is with a kazayas, or to be more precise, with volume displacement. So then we have this question that what's the difference if you displace water and water, the zayas followed by the foods that were eaten, or parallel to the foods that were eaten, or if you displace wine and wine, the zayas followed by things that are parallel to the amount that was eaten. So that he leaves as a question on Rabbeinu Tam. So now Tosis proposes an answer, that maybe you could answer Rabbeinu Tam's approach by saying we're not dealing with solids, we're dealing with liquids. That may or may not be what Rabbeinu Tam held, but in a moment Tosis is going to say that Tepshat cannot be. And that presumably will solve the problem, meaning what? Quite simply, a person drank a certain amount of wine. According to Rabbi Kiva, it has to be a kazayas. How do you measure that kazayas? So you can measure that kazayas by plunking an olive into water, and that'll get you, again, let's use the current measurement of the poskim assume that an olive is a half an egg, so it'll be 1 ounce. And then you can get that kazayas via wine. So if you take that same olive and you put it into water, you're not going to get 1 ounce. You're going to get, let's say, 0.9 ounces. Then it's going to turn out that the nazir, even if he drinks a little bit less wine, will still be having considered drunk a kazayas is worth, even if he just drinks, let's say, the 0.9 in our example, and not the 1 ounce. So that's what Tosa proposes. Maybe that's what Rabbeinu Tam is driving at, and that would be a nafka mina. There would be a difference between wine and water. So Tosa says, "V'mnam ishmaitin v'midi jisia, kevin armin and lachay v'shosa masha mapil shir kazayas minayayin de'uda ramuot." That if we're going to say we're talking about drinking, since we say that the drinker will be chayiv for the amount of a kazayas is worth, as the Tosefta said earlier, from the wine, which is going to be smaller than the amount that will be displaced by water. So Tosa says that is true, that that should be the measurement for wine, but it's so true that it's obvious. Hapshita, the chayiv and the shasa yayin, since he drank wine, and we're not dealing with solids that are being measured via wine, but rather actually drinking wine. So the chayven shasiyayin, the shiure, and here on the margin they changed the girsa, the shiure bahachi, not bahacha. The if shelasharai elabiyayin. That's the way to measure it. That it stands to reason that if you're talking about a kazayas of wine, that you should measure it in a displacement of wine and not in a displacement of water. So that's what he says, that even if, in order to answer this question, maybe Rabbeinu Tam would explain our Gemara is talking about drinking a kazayas and not eating a parallel amount of a kazayas that using wine displacement. So concerning that, he had a kasha that it doesn't really matter whether you use wine or water as long as you're consistent with what you put your olive into. But concerning drinking, you have a simple solution that you have to drink enough wine that if you put an olive in, you have to drink that and then your chaya, which will turn out to be less than the regular shir kazayas. That can't be because that's obvious that that's the way you measure it. So some of the Achronim point out it's not so obvious. But since the kazayas and kol tar kula is measured via water displacement, so there's a chiddush that you measure it via wine displacement, and maybe that's what Rabbeinu Tam was driving at. It's not talking about food, it's talking about drink, according to Rabbi Akiva. So Tosis caves in a bit and points out that notwithstanding his kashas in Rabbeinu Tam, uktsas mashabi Yerushalmi, the nazir kipirish Rabbeinu Tam. It's somewhat implied by the Yerushalmi that Rabbeinu Tam is correct, or that they hold like Rabbeinu Tam, that the shear of eating is always a kazayas. It's only the shear of drinking that is subject to a debate between Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who holds Revius, and Rabbi Akiva holds the kazayas. The achila lechuli alma bechazayas, that eating, everyone holds the kazayas. The kamar hasam, says in Yerushalmi. Mishnah Rishona, ach yish the Revius yayin, which is a quote from the Mishnah we saw earlier. So the Yerushalmi elaborates, the habu darshinan, shecher, shecher, that you derive exera sheva, shecher, shecher. Concerning Yain v'shechar al teish, that Aaron and his sons were not allowed to drink be drunk in the mikdash. So ma shechar shenemel alan revius, this is over there the minimum that's called being under the influence that doesn't allow avoda. So just as there it's a revius of wine, av shechar amar kan, with respect to the wine, the old wine that another's not allowed to drink, it's also revius, and that's the makor, it's the source for revius of wine for the nazir, focusing only on drinking. Then the Rishonim continues, Chaz v'lomar lo yocha v'lo yishta. And the Mishnah Chrona, which represents the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, the latter version, is it says the Nazir shouldn't eat, that's talking about grapes, v'lo yishta, and he shouldn't drink. So you have a comparison between the two. Ma achila b'kazayas, just as eating is a kazayas, afshia b'kazayas, even drinking is also defined as a kazayas, and drinking even a kazayas of wine will be chayiv. So it sounds like from the floor of the Rishalmi that there was never a havamina that anyone holds that you have to eat a revius of substance in order to be chayiv as a nozir in terms of grape products. The only issue was, what about the drinking? The Mishnah Rishona, Blas Manzaria, held it was a revius. And the Mishnah Chrona held it was a kazayis. But it never even raised the possibility that eating should be dependent on a revius. So that sounds like a bang of time. Indeed, the Rambam Paskin's exactly that way, and similar to the conclusion that emerges from Rabbeinu Tam's analysis, that Halacha Lemaisa, and Ram seems to be following the laws of Nazaria, that the share of drinking wine for a Nazir is revius, and the share of eating the salad products, again, La Halacha, only the Chatzanim and the Zag, and the grape itself, and it would not include the Alin, the leaves, and the Lovin, the tendrils. So that would be a Kazayas. In sum, we had a Gemara that says, Geffen, Kedei Revius Yayin. The simplest understanding would be, you have to drink a Revius in order to be Chayiv, as the Rashi in Erevin says. Rashi here says that's not the Pshat, and Tosus agrees with the Rashi here, because that wouldn't be parallel to the other Pirushim. Rather, it's referring to displacement. It's referring to displacement. What are you displacing? you're displacing the wine via salads. So from here we see that our Gemara is assuming that salad foods are assessed via revius when it comes to a nazir, and that is Tosis' first understanding, according to the original version of the Girsa in Nazir that we have in front of us in Nazir, that according to Blas ben Azariah, which our Gemara's opinion is following, revius is the shear of note for Nazir, both for drinking and eating. According to Rabbi Kiva, it would all be kazayas, both for eating and drinking. According to Ben Atam, whereas that is the correct shot for Rabbi Kiva, that kazayas is relevant for eating and drinking, but it's not the correct shot for Blas ben Azariah, changes the girsa Nazir, changes the girsa here, and according to his girsa Nazir, Blas ben Azariah agrees to Rabbi Kiva that the shear of eating is kazayas. The shear of drinking, though, he disagrees and says it's revius. Based on that, I should change our girsa of the Gemara too, because no such thing as displacing food of a revius of worth of wine, because no one holds that way. He changes to kazayas. At first glance, Rabbi Natam seems to be talking about eating a kazayas, and Tos had a certain kash on him, suggesting maybe he was talking about drinking, and that he rejects because that would be obvious. Tos is to remaskul kol klei bali batim shiuran kirimainim. The Gemara continued in the discussion of Rabbi Chanin that all the fruits of Eretz Yisrael, the Shivas Aminim, each of them designates some kind of shear. So the Rimon designates the minimum size of a hole that's necessary to nullify a kli that is no longer considered usable, and therefore, if it was Tame, it becomes Tar, and if it was Tar, it's not susceptible to Tuma. So Tosus just notes the distinction between clay eights and clay cheres, whether it's wooden utensils or earthenware utensils concerning this. Tos begins, Kabe clay eights, misnia, this concept of having to have a hole that's a rimon size in order for the utensil to be considered unusable, was said concerning clay eights. Perek Yitzayin, the Kalim, in the 17th Perek of Kalim, where the Mephoshim explained that Zdafka clay balabatim, because as Rashi notes here as well, that Bali Batim are Chosal Kleim, they want to use them to the maximum life that they can. So even if it has a smaller hole, let's say the size of an olive, so they won't use it for olives, they'll use it for Rimonim, which are bigger fruits. And if it's already Rimonim are going to fall through, so then it's considered totally unusable and it's not a Kli anymore, and therefore it's no longer Mekabel Tumah. But that's all concerning a Kli Eitz. Tos continues. But concerning earthenware utensils, so there we have a Mishnah that teaches us otherwise in terms of what the shear is. Tanan, Perek Shlishi, the Kelim, Mishnah Aleph. In the third Perek we have concerning Kli Cheres, Ha'osi La'ochlim, Shiur and Kizesim. That if it's used for food, so then the shear of the minimum hole that's necessary in order that it should no longer be Mekabel Tumah is enough to be Motzi Zayis, enough that an olive should be able to fall through. Once it already has that shear, it is Tohar, and not susceptible to being Mekabel Tumah in the future. Ha'asil Mashkim Chulei, meaning that if it's used for liquids, so then it's measured by liquids. Mishnayis and the Mephoshim Mishnah explained, based on the Mishnayis, that the shear is Kikonis Mashka, that's not enough for there to be a leak that would, that liquid goes out. There has to be a leak that liquid could come in to the utensil, which is slightly bigger. So, concerning Cheres, the Mishnah tells us that the shear revolves around the hole that could allow a Zayas to go through, which is obviously much less than a Rima. So now Tos just raises a contradiction concerning that, and from a Gemara Masecht Shabbos concerning Kli Cheres, Had Amar B'Sof HaMatznia, that which it says at the end of the 10th Perek of Shabbos, Sarehim Abeis, the name of Rava, Chamesh Midos B'Kli Cheres, that there are various measurements of the holes of Kli Cheres that disqualify it for various mitzvos. So, Nikev Kimotzi Zayis Tohar Milakabel Zaysim, that if it has a hole that allows an olive to go through, it is no longer considered a usable kli with respect to putting olives in there, continues Rava. Vadayin kli hu lekabel rimonim, but it is considered a kli with respect to having rimonim in there, because even though there's a hole of a motzi zayis and an olive could fall through, but it could still hold the rimon. So Tos is bothered by the apparent contradiction, because the our Gemara quotes based on a Mishnah in Perek Yud Zayin of Kalim concerning wooden kelim, that the rule of thumb is motzi rimon. And the Mishnah in Perek Gimel de Kelim said that the rule of thumb concerning klei cheres is Motzi Zayis. And suddenly Rava is bringing up Motzi Rimon as well concerning Kli Cheres. So Tosis answers, toward the end of the Tosis, Hainu Emichado L'Rimonim. It's only if the owner of the Kli designated it for Rimonim that once it is able to be Motzi Zayis, that olives are going to fall through and can no longer hold olives. So then, if he designated it as a Rimon utensil, so then it will still be Mekabel Tuma until such time as it is Motzi Rimon. I will stamo, but in a regular case where the Baal HaBayis did not indicate one way or the other is logic, Kimotzi Zayis. So then it depends on whether it has a hole in order to be Motzi Zayis or not, in which case it will be Tohar. And that's as opposed to a Kliates, that even in a Stam case where the Baal HaBayis did not express his mindset one way or the other, the fact that it's Motzi Zayis is not enough to make it totally tar, because the assumption is that concerning a Kli Eitz, which presumably is more valuable than a Kli Cheres, that the Baal HaBayis will automatically use it for a bigger kind of fruit, such as a Rimon, and therefore Motzi Zayis will not be enough for it to be clear tar. But a Kli Cheres, which is much cheaper, so there the Baal HaBayis, in a Stam case, once it's Motzi Zayis, it is no longer Mekabel Tuma, and it's only in a situation where the Baal HaBayis specifically was miyachid it, and he decided to continue using it for Rimonim, that the Kli will continue to be Mekabel Tuma. Tosfos Divrei Maschil, Shi'uran K'Rimonim. Once again, in the same topic that the previous Tosfos discussed, that in a Kli Eitz, minimum hole that the Kli has to have in order for it to no longer be Mekabel Tuma is the hole that will allow Rimon to go through, so it's no longer usable even for big fruits. So Tosis quotes a Mishnah Masechta Kelim as to exactly how to measure this Rimon idea. Masechta Kelim, Perek Yud Zayin, in the same Mishnah, in the same Perek that describes the basic topic of Motzi Rimon, that was Perek Yud Zayin Mishnah Aleph. Here we have Perek Yud Zayin Mishnah Dalid. Tanan, taught in the Mishnah, HaRimonim Sha'amru Shlosha Achuzim Zebazet. The Rimonim are three that are held on to each other, all connected through the stick from the tree. So at first glance, it sounds like that it's not really Motzi Rimon, it's mostly Shlosha Rimonim. And as a matter of fact, some of the Farshim, I think the first Israel, on the Mishnah and Perek Yizayim Mishnah Aleph, notes that it says Shiuran Kirimonim. It doesn't say Shiuran Kirimon, because the Mishnah Aleph was alluding to what it's going to say in Mishnah Dalid, that it has to be three Rimonim that are held on to each other. But Tosis notes it's not as it seems. V'lo shihei tzarech nekev godol kol kach kidei sheyetzu shloshtan v'vasachas. It's not that the hole has to be so gigantic that it could fit actually three Rimonim that are attached to each other. That cannot be the pshat. Tosis is going to prove in various Gemaras that can't be. Ela echad levad. It means one at a time. One Rimon from the bunch will come out, and it will the other one can come out, and the other one can come out. So first Tosis proves that it has to be that way, that it's not a hole that can fit all three at once. It's that going to fit each one after the other. And then he's going to then go back to explain, so what does it mean that it has to have three together in light of the fact that it's only one at a time, so why don't you just say one? So first he proves that it cannot be three together, that you need such a hole, it's even one after the other. Teha'amar b'sof ha'matznia. Because we have in the end of the 10th parak of Shabbos, which Tosfos quoted earlier in the Fsadahim of Beis again, Kimotzi Rimon. There it doesn't say Kimotzi Rimonim or Shiuran Kirimonim, which was the language of Mishnah Aleph in Parak Yizayin of Kelim. It says Motzi Rimon. So Mashma Rimon Echad. That's clearly only one pomegranate. So clearly Rava, who's the author of that statement in Shabbos, is not going to go against the Mishnah. Below Kama Rimonim. Another Raya of Ode with Parak Eluk Shorim. The 15th parak of Shabbos, Kuf Yud Beis and Beis, Uferikos and Pasen, Erev and Chavdal and Aleph, the boy Chizkia, Nikev Kimotzi Zayis, Ustamo, Bechazar Venikev Kimotzi Zayis, Ustamo, Ache Shlimo, Lemotzi Rimon, Mahu. So Chizkia has an Ibaya. What's the story if you have a wooden utensil and you're eventually getting to a Motzi Rimon size, but the hole is not made all at once? First, there was a hole fitting a zayis, and then you stopped up the hole, and then you made another hole, and also could allow a zayis to come out, and so on and so forth. You stuffed that one up, and then another motzi zayis. by the time you get to the last motzi zayis, so you would have had enough holes to allow a rimon to go through had you kept the holes. But in each case, in each mini step, you stuffed up the holes. So all those holes joined together to ruin the status of the kli being mekabel tumah. Or do we say that no, you go by the way it is now, and since the holes are already stuffed up, so even though in total you have a motzi rimon, but right now you don't have a motzi rimon because you stuffed up all the other holes prior to that. That's the shaila of Chizkiya. So Chizkiya's language is that the holes would have all combined had you not stuffed them up to a motzi rimon, not motzi rimonim. So Tosis notes that havale lemintko nikev kimotzi rimon ustamo v'chazer nikev kimotzi rimon ustamo ad sheshlimo l'shlosha rimonim. If indeed you need actually three rimonim to be able to come out, so his shaila shouldn't revolve around motzi zayis until you have enough for one rimon to come out. His shaila should revolve around a hole of a rimon, which according to this havamina that's also trying to reject, is not enough to mevatel the kli because only one rimon. So he should have spoken about exactly that. You made a hole of a rimon, you stuffed it up, another hole of a rimon, stuffed it up, until you have the shear of three rimonim, if indeed that is the true shear that you need in order for the kliyot to be totally nullified and no longer be makabel tuma. So based on these two rayas, the Gemara in Shabbos and the Gemara in Erevin, also quoted in Shabbos, Tosfos concludes that it cannot be that shalosha rimonim is the shear. It has to be one. So why then does the Mishnah in Perek Zayin Mishnah Dalet say that it's rimonim connected? The Tosfos explains, and Neil Lefarish appears to explain as follows: the hodanokat shalosha rimonim achuzim, that they're joined together, not that they all have to come out together, but the afal pisha motziam zecharzeh, even though you take, they fall through one into the other, einochin lotzeis, they cannot easily come out derech nekev tzar through a narrower kind of hole. Kemosha hiyotze zecharzeh bifnei atzmo. If you had three rimonim that were totally not attached to each other, and then you attempted to take out one, and then another, you'd be able to force that through a smaller kind of hole than if you have three rimonim that are attached to each other. Then you're going to need a slightly bigger hole, even though you're taking them out one at a time. Perhaps what Tosfos is driving at, because if you're going to yank and pull, then you're going to break them apart. So if you want to preserve them together, you're going to need a slightly bigger hole to make sure that happens, if they're all joined together, but you basically only need the size of a hole to allow one rimon to go through, but slightly bigger to allow those rimonim to all go through while still being attached. That's Tosfos' first shot. Tosfos now suggests another interpretation. Odish Lafarish, the Nokat Shlosha Achuzim Zebazeh, that it chose to speak about three attached to each other, even though they come out one at a time. Nishim is talking about the size of the rimon we're dealing with. Really, all you need is one rimon, but by speaking about shloshah chuzim zebzeh, it's merely defining the size of the rimon we're dealing with, because they're smaller rimonim and they're bigger rimonim. So it elaborates, mishum the rimon, the gadol yechidi, a rimon that's growing all on its own on the tree and not in combination with others next to it, bifnei atzmo, by itself, oshanayim, or two that are growing next to each other, either one or two, gidolim yosmidai, so those are considered too big for our shear. Of course, the one growing alone will be the biggest, and then one's growing two next to each other would be somewhat smaller, but still too big for the shear of motzi rimon. Vagdelem arba, and those that grow four in a bunch, achuzim, when they're joined together, kitanim yosemidai, those are too small for our shear. Avagdelem shlosha, but the ones that grow three next to each other, beinonim, those are just right, the average size of rimon, umisharim bahem, and that's exactly the type of rimonim that we have to be mishar. And they don't actually have to be attached, and certainly they don't have to all come through. You pluck one of those rimonim, and that's the measurement of motzi rimon. Just trying to define what the average rimon is, and the average rimon is the size of a rimon that would grow in a bunch of three next to each other. The Gemara had challenged Rav Chanan's statement that all the payers of Eretz Yisrael, as learned out from the Pasuk of Eretz Chita Sora, of Gevin San Rimon, etc., they all teach us Shurim. So Gemara points out that, but we have a statement of Rav, that shiurin, chatzitzin, and mechitzin are all halacha moshmi Sinai. So that seems to contradict Rav Chanan's statement that the shiurim are not halacha moshmi Sinai, but are actually darshined from the psukim of Eretz Chitzis Ora. So the Gemara concludes that indeed they are halacha moshmi Sinai, and the pasuk of Rav Chanan is a mere asmachta of a Torah concept, halacha moshmi Sinai, that is alluded to by the pasuk, but not, does not actually rise to the level of a drasha. So that's the Tosfos Divrei Maschil on that conclusion of the Gemara, El Hilchasaninu across Machtav Alma. And Tosfos raises an issue with the Gemara in Yoma, whose original Girsa seems to contradict our Gemara. Mikan Kosha, Le Girsas Asvarim, De Perek Basra, De Yoma. Tosfos begins that this is difficult with the original version in our manuscripts of the last Perek of Yoma, Daf Peyam Aleph, Damar B'Yochanan, Shiurin, Ve'onshin, Halacha Moshe Sinai. Here we have a statement, not in the name of Rav, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that shiurin and onshin and punishments are halacha moshmi Sinai. So the Gemara asks the parech, shiurin michtav ksivi, that shiurin are indeed written, as it says, eretz chita, etc. Umishani, and the Gemara answers, ela ema shiurin shel onshin. The way the Gemara modifies Rabbi Yochanan's statement to conform with the fact that shiurin are not halacha moshmi Sinai, they're actually derived from sukkim, is not to read it as shiurin ve'onshin, but shiurin shel onshin. The measurements you have to eat in order to get punished. How much you have to eat, or how much you have to do in order to be chayiv. So, Tosfos now asks, v'kasha la'osa gersa. That version is difficult. The Maika parech michtav ksivi. What is that Gemara saying that they're written in the darshan from the pasuk of Eretz Chitzis Ora? Ha'masikacha, but the conclusion of our Gemara is the cross machti, that it's just an illusion, and it's really halacha moshmi Sinai. So it's a contradiction in Gemara. So our Gemara that says that it's halacha moshmi Sinai, and the pasuk is just machta, and that Gemara, which directly implies that they are darshan. Question number one. And Tosfos points out that besides that contradiction in our Gemara, it's also an internal contradiction in that same Gemara in Yoma, further verifying the fact that there must be some problem with the girsa. V'od. Furthermore, Ma'ikam Mishani Eima Shiurin Shalonshin. What is the answer that originally we thought Rabbi Yochanan said Shiurin Ve'onshin? Shiurin, measurements and punishments. And the answer is no. He doesn't mean measurements and punishments. He means the measurements of the punishments. So Tosfos asks, Halo ala Shir Hiksha Michtav Ksivi. It's on the measurement that we ask that how could Rabbi Yochanan say that the Shir is Halacha Moshe Sinai? We learn out from Sukkim, Eretz Chita Sora. So that is exactly about the measurement. What is the nafkamina of a shear? Let's say someone eats a kazayas of pork. So it's going to be chayiv, malchus. Someone eats a koseves agas on Yom Kippur. So it's going to be chayiv, kares, or chatas. The nafkamina of a shear is for onesh. So shiurin ve'onshin, the word shiurin in that, is exactly the same as shiurin shel onshin, because the nafkamina of a shir is the fact that you're going to be punished. So what's the difference between the original understanding of Rabbi Yochanan that shiurin and onshin, and the conclusion of the Gemara that it means shiurin shel onshin? It's the same thing. A shir leads to an onish. Tosfos has a third kasha on that girsa. Oh, the v'chol duchta the ma'isi haikra the shiurin ma'isi kula milsa the Rabbanan. And all the places in Shas that quotes this concept of the fact that we derive the various shiurim from the psukim, it quotes the whole statement of Rav Chanan, the Hocha, that's mentioned over here. In other words, what we learn from Chita, what we learn from Sa'ora, what we learn from Geffen and Te'ena, and so on and so forth. There the Gemara just summarizes it and says that shiurim are written, Eretz Chita, etc. That of the questions perhaps is the weakest, because of course you could say that sometimes Gemara is just summarized and is quoted at length. But either way, it certainly is mitzdareif. Joins to the other questions as well. Mitochach, as a result of these three questions, both the contradiction between our Gemara and that Gemara, our Gemara implying the Maskana that is Halacha Moshe Sinai, and that Gemara implying that actually is a real drasha, and the other Kasha on the Gemara itself, and the fact that it didn't quote the whole version. So Mitochach, as a result of that, Goris Hasan Bekuntris, so Rashi had a different girsa there, not Shiurin Michtav Ksivi, that Shiurin are written, quoting the Pasuk Eretz Chitzis Ora, but Onshin Michtav Ksivi. They weren't asking on a Yochanan statement of Shiurin being Halacha Moshe Sinai, because that is Halacha Moshe Sinai, as per our Gemara. But I was asking on the other part of Yochanan's statement that punishments are halacha moshe Sinai. What? Ask the Gemara. Those are written explicitly. What you get skila for, what you get koris for, what you get chenek and so on and so forth, what you get malchus for. Ella, ema. So then the conclusion of the Gemara is not referring to the kasha on shiurin, but rather referring to the kasha on onshim. Ella, shiurin shel onshin. That when we say that shiurin are halacha moshe Sinai and onshin are halacha moshe Sinai, we don't mean the punishment being halacha moshe Sinai, but how much you have to consume or how much you have to do in order to be punished. So now Tosis has one final observation. With fair case of Mevorchin in Masech Tebrochis in the sixth parak, Tav Mem Aleph Mer Aleph, Mash Maksas, he mends a bit, the Drosha Gemurahi. There the Gemara seems to take Rav Chanan's Drosha at face value and not attribute it to Halacha Moshe Sinai. The Amar Rav, again, the margin modifies the Girsa somewhat. The Amar Rav Yosef, V'itayim Rav Yitzchak, either Rav Yosef or Rav Yitzchak said, Kala Muklim B'pasek Zeh, Muklim Lavracha, Shenemar Eretz Chita V'gomer, the famous Halacha, that when you have two fruits in front of you, let's say a Gefen, and Te'ena, so you have to figure out how close it is to the first Eretz, how close it is to the second Eretz, and based on that, to make the Bracha Bar creates or Mizonos on that Bracha first. That whatever is close to the Eretz, and then giving a precedent to the first Eretz over the second Eretz when it's a tie. So the Gemara then asks, V'hoder Omar, and subsequently it says, V'pliga de Reb Chanan, that if we're deriving from Eretz Chitza Sa'ora, the Kedim and Brachos, which Bracha comes first, or what do you say the Bari creates on? So that argues on Reb Chanan, that Reb Chanan, Kala Pasuk L'Shiurin Emar, as we see in our Gemara, that we're deriving something else from that Pasuk, namely Shiurim, so how could you necessarily derive the Kedim and Brachos from? So that Gemara presents that as a Machlokas. So Tosis just challenges that kind of Kasha on Reb Yitzchak or Reb Yosef, because we just concluded here that Reb Chanan's interpretation of that verse is just an asmachta. So the Pasuk is free to darshan the laws of Kedim and Brachos, because Reb Chanan's halach of Shiurim really is derived from halach of Moshe Sinai. The Tosis suggests the possible answer, Rishema, Lamai, Demasikosam, maybe according to the conclusion of that Gemara, namely, the Idach Shiurin Miksivi, Lo Pligi. The Gemara says that Rav Yosef or Rav Yitzchak, why weren't they concerned about deriving Rav Chanan's Drasha from those apsukim, that pasuk of Eretz Chita Sa'ora? Because they held that Shiurin are not really written in that pasuk, so it cannot really be the real Drasha, similar to what our Gemara asked, that it doesn't really say that the Zayis is for eating and that Geffen is for the Revius of the Nazir, so on and so forth. So it's clearly only an Asmachta, and the Shiurin must come from Halacha Moshe Sinai. That's the way Rav Yosef and Rav Yitzchak would answer why they don't need that Pasuk. So what Tosis is suggesting is that whereas the Gemara at first glance seems to imply that that's the way Rav Yitzchak and Rav Yosef learned, that the Shiurin are Halacha Moshe Sinai, and that Pasuk of Eretz Chita Sa'ora is now free to teach you about the laws of Kedima, of prioritization and Brachas. But Rav Chanan himself holds that the pasuk is used for shiurin. That would be the simple reading of the Gemara, that Rav Chanan is making a real drasha. But those suggest that maybe once the Gemara says that Rav Yosef and Rav Yitzchak don't need that pasuk of Eretz Chita Sa'ora to teach you shiurin because they derive it from Halacha Moshe Sinai, so maybe the Gemara is concluding that even Rav Chanan himself would agree to that kind of analysis, that you don't really need it to teach you shiurin because it's also learned from Halacha Moshe Sinai. That's what Tosfos means at the end. B'shem alamai demasa kosam v'idach shiurin miksivi. Lo pligi. That maybe according to the conclusion of the Gemara, that Rav Yosef and Rav Yitzchak certainly hold that that is halacha moshe Sinai, the idea of shiurin, and therefore Eretz Chita Sa'ora can be used for the laws of kedim and brachas. So lo pligi. Maybe even Rav Chanan, according to that conclusion, would agree to that concept and that there's really halacha moshe Sinai, and he was just giving an asmachta. One has to look further into the Tosis, because Tosis implies that the laws of kedim and brachos is a drasha gemara. And that's why the Gemara is asking and pitting one drasha gemara against another. That do you learn the laws of prioritization and brachas from there, or do you learn the shiurim from there? But simply speaking, a bracha rishona is derabanan. So therefore, the laws of kedima brachas is also derabanan. And therefore, of Yosef and of Yitzchak's drasha is also an asmachta. So you could have understand the Gemara somewhat different from the way Tosfos understood it, that we're basically pitting an asmachta against an asmachta. But Tosfos seems to be assuming at first glance, and needs further study, that Rav Yosef and Rav Yitzchak's drasha is a real drasha, and Rav Chanan's drasha was a real drasha according to the simple reading of the Gemara, till you got to the end where they say it's only an asmachta according to Rav Yitzchak, and maybe even possibly according to Rav Chanan.